just a little bit. All the scripture, though, should be familiar to you, but just maybe not in this order. All right, so I'm going to start with the announcement to Mary, and we're going to be in Luke 1, 26 through 38, and feel free to follow me around, or you can close your eyes and try to listen. Try not to take a nap. But if you want to close your eyes and listen, that's fine. So here we go. The announcement to Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age and has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So that had to be the wildest Christmas present ever for a young Jewish peasant to be informed by an angel that she's about to be pregnant and about to give birth to the Messiah. And it would have been bad news for her fiancé as well. So I just thank God in His grace that He didn't just give this announcement to Mary, but He also gave an announcement to Joseph so that they could be one as they understood what God was doing in their lives. So that takes us to the announcement to Joseph, which is Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." And now back to Luke for the most familiar birth story, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And now, lastly, the visit of the wise men back in Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Well, this is the most relevant data in the scripture concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how it happened. As I've participated in Christmas this year, this is a little bit of a confession. I can honestly say that it gets a little bit harder each year for me to associate everything that goes on around Christmas with Jesus. And for some people, I know it's no problem at all. That's a personal problem. I'm just sharing a personal problem here. But there's so much about Christmas that just doesn't seem relevant to the birth of Jesus. And we can try to make it relevant, and some people it is relevant to them and it all works beautifully. But for me, it's hard always to sort of think of the lights and the tree and the presents and the parties somehow being directly related to the birth of Jesus. And I don't know if that's going to get better as I get older or if it's going to get worse. I'm not sure. What I will say is I still love Christmas, even though it's hard to associate it everything directly with the birth of Jesus. I mean, who doesn't love chestnuts roasting on an open fire? I mean, Christmas is great. And I love lights. I like to drive around and see the lights. Y'all like lights? But it's somehow the holiday and Jesus don't seem all that directly connected in my mind and in my heart. And I would say, well, the reason I give gifts is because I love Jesus and want to honor Jesus. But a lot of people who don't know Jesus at all give better gifts than what I give. And it's still hard to just make this connection. Are y'all with me? So anyway, I say all that to say I'm glad you're here. I'm glad it's Christmas Eve. And I'm glad that we celebrate the birth of Jesus one day a year. I really am, because this is a fun, wonderful time of year for me. But man, I have to say, if this was all there was for me in terms of honoring Jesus and getting to sort of celebrate Jesus, I would be missing out so much. And so I said all that to lead into a couple more verses that I want to share with you. Is we have this story, and it's like it's story. There's not a whole lot of interpretation. It's explaining what's going on, that Jesus is the promised Messiah who would be the Christ. All of that is in the story, and that he's being born, and that he's going to be the King of Israel, and so on. How does that really affect us? Well, I wanted to read two more passages and then explain one of them just briefly. The other passage that I want to read is the strange birth passage, which is the Gospel of John. And it doesn't have shepherds, and it doesn't have virgins, and it doesn't have wise men. And there's plenty of room in the end, apparently. This is just a completely different look at it. And it's not to say that John disagrees with the others. He's looking through it and seeing something deeper even than just a physical birth. And so let me just read. The Gospel of John starts off like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He, the light, the Logos, was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me read verse 14 again. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is John's nativity account. And he focuses on two things. I don't know any better way to say it, but he focuses on the godness of Jesus, and then he focuses on the humanity of Jesus, that this, he was God from the beginning, became flesh. He's focusing on the divinity and humanity of Jesus simultaneously here in this passage. And what is the big payoff for us? What do we get because of Christmas? Well, we get to see the glory of God as it's revealed perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's one. But then what was the other one? That we get to become sons of God. So when John sort of meditates on Christmas, he has two big takeaways. That in Jesus, we see God revealed because that's who he is from eternity past. And what's the result? We get to be children of God. Now, I find it interesting. So there's only one more legitimate birth story in the New Testament. Only one more legitimate reference to the birth of Jesus in the New Testament. There are lots of allusions, but where it's singled out, the birth. So turn to Galatians chapter 4, and you're going to see striking parallels between John's meditation on the incarnation of Jesus and on Paul's. And I just love this. Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to just read two verses and just say a little bit about what it means, and we'll wrap it up. Galatians 4 verse 4 says this: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." I have to read verse 6:2. "And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" I hope you see the connection between Paul's meditation on the birth of Jesus and what it means, and on the meditation of John and what it means. They're not describing the birth, they're telling us what the birth accomplished for us. And so here in Galatians, Paul begins by talking about the fullness of time. There were a lot of people who longed desperately for the coming of Jesus, but he delayed, but it was all according to plan, because there was a perfect time when God wanted to send Jesus, and he, in the fullness of time, not any kind of accident, sent Jesus. And so Paul's affirming that this whole Old Testament and New Testament come together as part of God's plan, that the birth of Jesus represents the fullness of time. And not only did Jesus come at the fullness of time, but when he came, he didn't just appear like as a God who was in appearance as a man only, but he was literally born. And that is the most amazing miracle of Christmas, that God would take on flesh in Jesus. And he was literally born of a woman. And that's probably the most helpless that any one of us will ever be, is the moment of our birth. And Jesus was born of a woman, and he became a man. He became a human being. So try not to miss what's happening here. God sent forth his Son. So what happened? The Son of God became the son of a woman, or a man, but not really a man. He became a son of a woman here, because remember, Joseph wasn't his father, at least not biologically. So the Son of God became the son of a woman, and he was, as a man, he was also born under law. And what Paul's trying to say is that God in Jesus Christ became a man, and he became like us, even subject to law, born under law. But that was all for a purpose. So why was Jesus born, and why do we have Christmas, and why did Jesus become a man? Why was he born? Well, he gives us a reason here in verse 5, 2, or so that, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. He puts this fact that Jesus was born under law and Jesus became a man. One of the benefits is that he redeemed us from the curse of the law, or from being under the law. But I think his main point is at the end of verse 5, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So at the end of the day, I hope you see this little parallel. The Son of God became a man so that men could what? Become sons of God. Isn't that what John argued? And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Children born not of flesh and not of a husband's will, not of blood, but born according to God. Here Paul uses that same language instead of new birth or being born from above. He uses the word adoption, which in our culture might have some connotations that aren't that helpful. I think it's actually better to say in statement as sons instead of just that's the idea. Rather than being adopted, it's instated as sons. And so that's what he did. And because, now look at verse 6, and because Jesus came and became a man so that we could be sons of God, look at verse 6. You might think from verse 5, well, it's possible to become the sons of God, but I don't know that we actually did. But how does verse 6 start? It says, and because you are sons. Isn't that good? It's not just possible to become sons, but because of Jesus came and because we place our faith in Jesus, we really are sons. Sons of God. And it's not just that now we have a different father, but the best part in so many ways comes after that. And what after we become God's sons and daughters, what happens to us? But this is so beautiful, and I hope you'll receive this gift this Christmas. I mean, you already have it, but you'll receive it. That he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. That's mind-blowing. The Spirit of Jesus is the life of Jesus. It's what animated him. It directed him and empowered him and flowed through him. And it was... I don't know if you've ever met someone with a lot of spirit or whatever, and you go, man, I wish I had that spirit, because you want that life flowing in you or whatever. Well, that's why Jesus came. That's why he was born, is so that he could redeem us from the curse of the law and set us free, so that we could be adopted into the family of God, and so that we could be filled with the Spirit of Jesus. And I know that we live so much of our lives sort of wishing we had the Spirit of Jesus, rather than believing we have the Spirit of Jesus, and rather than reckoning with the Spirit of Jesus. But that's what God's Word says, that Jesus came to do that. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law, so that we might be adopted we might be adopted as sons. And because we are sons through faith in Jesus Christ, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son to live in our hearts. The same Holy Spirit that lived in and motivated Jesus lives in and motivates you and me. It's a glorious truth. And so we don't have to be always discouraged. We don't always have to be thinking that we don't have what it takes to live life like one of God's sons. We don't always have to, or one of God's daughters. We don't always have to measure ourselves on the basis of the law. That's too low of a standard anyway. We've been set free from all that, filled with the Spirit of his Son, so that we can live holy lives that bring God glory and honor. So we have two authors who, rather than just describing the birth of Jesus, took some time to think about what does it mean for us? And what did it mean? Well, it means we get to see God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it means we get to be born from above and adopted into the family of God. And it means we get to be filled with His Spirit so we have power to live like it. You know, I'll just say this and wrap it up. The enemy doesn't want you to believe any of that. The enemy doesn't want you to realize that you really are God's daughter. That you really are God's son. Doesn't want you to believe that at all. And then if you believe that, then he wants you to think, well, you're a son that or a daughter of which he's constantly displeased, and there's no way he could ever be pleased with you. But he can be, and he is, because he put his own spirit of his own son in us to live through us. And yeah, so Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for coming and becoming a man so that we could become children of God. So amazing. And it's not just that you've given us this status that we can't live up to, but you've given us the power that we need by coming to live in us, your own spirit indwelling us, living in us and living through us. So that we can live lives that reflect your honor and your glory and your character and your nature. We're just so thankful to you for coming. Pray for all of the families here that there would just be a divine gift of your joy and peace during this Christmas time. Pray that the fruit of your Spirit would be manifested in all of our lives, that especially this time of year, as we're with family and tension can sometimes ride high, I do pray that you would let the fruit of your Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control and all those things, just let them flow out of our lives. We can't make it happen, but as we trust you by faith, you produce that fruit in us. And we love you for that, and we thank you for that. Help us not to settle for less than your life in us, because it seems to me like that's why he came. So we love you. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.